First thing you should be doing is you should start looking at land as a pot of gold that's sitting there waiting for you to just pick it up. Because the first thing important about land flipping is that it has about 99% or more than 99% less competition than house flipping. That's the first thing. So in other words, like everyone walks by land not knowing what to do with it, and everyone runs after houses. I mean, houses, commercial properties, multifamily, it's like freaking crazy right now, right? We do multifamily too. Basically, we take the profits make from land flipping and the cash flow we get from our income properties, and we roll it into lots of like what we call forever cash assets, assets that spit out cash forever, right? So we use land flipping as our cash machine to produce income and cash, and also cash flow if you do seller financing on it. And then we roll that all over into commercial projects.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Jack Bosch is the co-founder of the Land Profit Generator Method and the Land Profit Coaching Program with his wife, Michelle. The Land Profit Generator Method is the premier incubator of real estate investing and better known as the Harvard of Land Flipping. Michelle and Jack have done over 4,000 land flips and over time also converted the flipping income into generational wealth through other real estate investments. They continue to spread the message with the mission to create over 1,000 millionaires and impact the lives of many, many more. Jack, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Sam. I'm excited to be here.
Pleasure's mine. I've talked about land flipping on this show a couple of times, and it's always a fun topic. So I get excited when I see this because it's one of those things that you just go, gosh, it just seems so simple, and yet it's just not talked about that much. So if you don't mind, and I know you're involved in a lot more than land flipping, and we'll get into that on this show, but kind of walk us through where you started, where are you now, and if you don't mind, you're doing it all very quickly, how you got there.
All right, sure. So officially, so where it all started is like, I'm originally from Germany. So you can tell from my accent, I sound like Arnold, don't look like him. But I got here in 1997 to the US, finished my college degree, got a master's here, and then got a job here. Fell in love with the country, fell in love with this young, wonderful lady who is now my wife of 20 plus years. She's not from here either. She's from Honduras, Central America. So we decided to stay here and got jobs, did that entire thing, realized very quickly it's not what we wanted to do for the rest of our lives, at least. It was fun for a little bit, but then I was 100% travel job. Michelle was like in finance and it's like working weekends and nights. And this is supposed to be the American dream. This is supposed to be what we sign up for, that we're supposed to be doing until we're 65. And then we're retired, tired and broke. Like, no, let's not do that. So we looked around for something else. We found real estate. Struggled at the beginning because we did not know anything about real estate at the time. But coming from different country, language is different. The industry language, the jargon is different. The methods of even building is different around us, right? So we build brick homes. Everything is completely different. Like replacing a roof in Germany costs like $50,000, $100,000 on a house. Here, if it's a tar shingle house, you can do it for like $7,800 or something like that, right? It's completely just a different world. It's the same with Honduras. It's a hurricane country, so their hurricanes come through there. So they're building completely different to withstand that. And long story short, we stumbled into an asset class that is completely overlooked by virtually everyone in the country. And that is, I mean, with lower, I mean, between $5,000 and $300,000 market value land. Everyone in the land space is like a builder. Most people in the land space are developers, builders, and so on, right? So they focus on that, on the custom home lot that's like a $500,000 lot, or they focus on the $10 million, 20 acres that they can split up and then build the development in the streets and the things in there. And those are like high stakes, long term, takes a couple of years to get everything permitted and put the infrastructure in the ground. Those are completely different. That's what everyone thinks when you talk about land investing. Well, what we have figured out is that you can flip land the same way that you can flip houses, just without the number one complicating factor in real estate, which is the house, right? So you can do everything the same. You can wholesale, you can retail, you can sell a finance. You can even split land, which you can't do much on houses, right? Unless you have a house with an extra lot next to it, then you can split that off. And so we realized that because it's land, you actually have to do much less effort because you don't have to go see the land. Like I can see anything about that land from an aerial picture. I don't have to stand in front of the land to tell me that there's three trees on it, right? I can see a topographical map that shows me how it's sloping. I don't have to be at the property to see it's sloping. I can get the county records and see if it's, or the city records and see if it has utilities to it. I can go straight to Google Street View and go basically have Google and use the Google car, right, to go look at how it looks like and how the vegetation looks like and how the neighboring houses look like. And I can use crime analytics in the neighborhood from census and to see if it's a good or bad neighborhood. I can do all of that from the comfort of my home. I don't have to ever go out of my home. So we basically developed a method to do land flipping from the comfort of your home, make the same or better profits than the house flippers, just without any of the hassles involved.
Right, man. Number one headache I always found because I flipped way too many homes early on in my real estate journey. I swear, if I ever have to go back to Lowe's or Home Depot, I get stressed out. I go into shocks.
And tell me about it. We just got a house in Sedona, Arizona. That's going to be a short-term rental. So we're dipping our toes into that space, like Airbnb kind of thing. And it needs about $100,000 in repairs. But we also want to use it for us for the weekend. So it's really kind of a dual thing. We love that area. We're in Phoenix, Paradise Valley area, Phoenix, Scottsdale area. And it's a two-hour drive up there. But first thing we did, we hired a contractor, general contractor. Second thing we did, we hired an architect to design everything for us, even pick the freaking furniture for us. And we're just going to let those two run with a certain budget. And I don't ever want to go to Home Depot. I don't even know what 90% of the stuff in Home Depot is even called and used for. That's just like, not my gig, not my thing.
Good for you. I should have talked to you a lot sooner. That's for sure. Man, this is loads of fun. I mean, walk us through, like you were saying, these are smaller dollar projects. So how many of these deals does it take for someone to do before it actually begins to be worth the time invested it takes to get the deals done?
Well, let's look at that. I mean, there's a few schools of thought in this land flipping business. There's a couple of guys out there that their model is get a $7,500 property for $600 and then turn around and sell it with a $600 down payment and $150 a month, monthly payments for the next, I don't know, 5 to 7 years. Great. That works. But that's going to take a lot of deals to make it worthwhile, right?
That's the problem I've had with it is like the needle doesn't move. I mean, you're going to need 40 of those before you even make $6,000 a month. Like that sounds miserable.
Right. Some of our students are doing right now is something completely different. What we teach is, first of all, you don't have to be at the $7,500 range. You can, first of all, if you talk about wholesale, just to simply take a $120,000, $150,000 property, get that thing under contract for $70,000 and sell it for $110,000 and make $40,000. Well, that moves the needle much more. So if you focus on those kind of deals, well, every single deal moves the needle. One deal and you're in profit zone, you're two deals, you're ready to quit your job, three deals, you're in the six figures, right? It's as simple as that. And we do have students and coaches that focus on that, that might do like 15 deals a year, but every deal is $40,000 to $80,000. And that's over $500,000 with just a few deals, basically working 2 or 3 hours or 3 or 4 hours a day doing this part-time and pulling in $500,000. Now, not everyone does that, right? But there's definitely, you can go that route too. So therefore, it doesn't require a lot of deals if you just focus on the right kind of deals.
Talk to us about your journey. I mean, certainly you've learned some things along the way in the land buying and land flipping and land holding business. I mean, tell us some of the gotchas. Tell us some of the things that people should be doing. Things like that.
Well, first thing you should be doing is you should be start looking at land as a pot of gold that's sitting there waiting for you to just pick it up. Because the first thing important about land flipping is that it has about 99% or more than 99% less competition than house flipping. That's the first thing. So in other words, like everyone walks by land not knowing what to do with it, and everyone runs after houses. I mean, you know, houses, commercial properties, multifamily, it's like freaking crazy right now, right? You got to outbid, and we do multifamily too. Basically, we take the profits we make from land flipping and the cash flow we get from our income properties, and we roll it into lots of like what we call forever cash assets, assets that spit out cash forever, right? So we use land flipping as our cash machine to produce income and cash, and also cash flow if you do seller financing on it. And then we roll that all over into commercial projects. Commercial multifamily projects, things like that. We love multifamily because people always need a place to live. They might not need the mall down the road anymore because Amazon has taken that business away, but they accept or in prime locations, of course, there's always going to be space for that. But they might not need all of that anymore, but they do need a place to live. So that's why we like that. But to your question is, yeah, in the multifamily industry, the competition is like, the other day we made an offer of $9 million for a property. And in order to get the deal, we had to put $150,000 of hard, earnest money on day one. And then 2 weeks later, another $150,000. We're selling a property right now, 146 units, but they had to do the same thing because we had like 15 offers. Like, who do you take? The one with the highest price or the one that gives you the exact same price but commits to put the $150,000 earnest money hard on day one? Of course, we got to take the one that puts the money hard won. And that's what companies do nowadays need to do in order to win in that space. So either way, that is not the case in land flipping. Land flipping is almost completely in a vacuum of competition. It's the gap in the real estate market. Like, there's perhaps 1,000 professional land flippers now around in the country, most of them trained by us. And there's 3,007 counties. So in other words, there's three counties on average for every single land flipper available. Now, of course, if there's some areas, like there's a couple of pockets in Florida where 55 of them decided to be active there, but that's 55 people in one county when there's probably 555 house flippers in just one city in that county, right? So it's like the competition is like literally that small. And that's the first thing to look at. Buy land is really a great opportunity. We have tons of people that come over to us and learn from us that used to be house flippers, and they're just sick and tired of the competition. And they're just like, you know what? Now they do 100 deals over here, automated their business 4 hours a day and pull in $1 million. I mean, not everyone does that, of course. Some people are happy making 50 or 70 grand a year, but it does happen. So the next thing is that, again, as I mentioned, because it's land, you don't have to go out and see it. Like, virtual house flipping exists, but you still need to have boots on the ground. Somebody needs to inspect that place and see what are all the repairs you need to do. Multifamily investment, you got to go. An inspection company needs to go through there. You got to have management on the ground and things like that. Well, with land, you don't need any of that. Next thing that's really attractive is that if you look at the land aspect, the land asset class, and again, we look at the land between like $5,000 and $300,000. Most of that is free and clear land that the owners have owned for sometimes decades. Or it's heirs that inherited those properties and they're just sitting on the property and they're like, I don't want it. They don't want the piece of land. They want the cash. They want the money. So what happens is, by definition, these properties are mostly free and clear because banks don't even lend on land unless you're an experienced operator, an experienced developer, unless it's in the city, it has all utilities. And we focus on three kinds of land. We focus on infill lots. There are like residential infill lots, commercial infill lots are absolutely game. Right? Earlier this year, we sold a property that we bought for $90,000. We sold it for $200,000. Right? After commission and everything, we used the realtor to sell it. We made like $89,000 on the deal. But there's also in residential deals and so on, they're all game. And by the way, builders snatch them up like that. But we also focus on land on the outskirts of town in the path of growth. And we also focus on large acreage, more a couple of hours away from town, because that's like the people with the RVs, with the dirt bikes, with the SUVs. The people want to go back to nature and have some goats and horses, do like homestead farming kind of doomsday preppers. They all want that stuff. But that kind of stuff, the moment you're outside of the city, banks will not finance that land. So by definition, we're not dealing with distressed properties. We're dealing with free and clear properties, 100% equity, that the owners just don't want anymore because their life and circumstances have changed. Perhaps their spouse has passed away and they wanted to build their cabin out there. Perhaps they wanted to build a house on there. Perhaps it's a lot on the lake, an hour away from a bigger city, that they wanted to build their weekend house on there. And now life has changed. Perhaps the grandkids are born, and so on and so forth. So we're having these people that just don't want these properties anymore. They don't care about these properties anymore. They don't often need the money to survive on a property, but they still bothered by having to pay property taxes every year. Because that's one thing that comes with land or with every property, but a rental house, you rent it and the rent covers more than mortgage and property taxes and still gives you cash flow. A piece of land that you just sit on doesn't do anything but eat up property taxes every year. So as a result, when you own that, these people after 20 years, they're like, I don't want to pay this anymore. I'm not going to use the land anymore. I used it for 10 years. I went out there, I went fishing, I went hiking, I had fun. But now I don't want to go there out anymore. I'm done with that. So now it sits there and perhaps they listed it with a bad realtor, with a bad listing, and it just sat there at full market price. And it just, they're like, eh, no, I guess nobody wants it. So we make our offer. And then we take that property, create an amazing listing, market it at half price, and guess what? It flies off the shelf. And really, that's kind of how we do things around here.
You've brought up a few questions. I mean, do you guys hunt specifically for property tax delinquent properties?
That's actually how we started. That's how we discovered this, because we were trying to figure out a way to make money in real estate. And we're like, well, how do we do this? We couldn't make anything work in the housing area because, again, even there, 20 years ago, there was competition already. And we didn't know. We got one triplex under contract and we estimated everything wrong on that thing. As a result, we couldn't move it because we had way over offered, which is probably why we got it, right? And then we were able to back out of the deal. The next step was like, well, what else can we do? And we read a book and somewhere in the book, they talked about tax liens. So it was like, what is that? We had never even heard about it. So tax delinquent properties, tax liens, tax deeds. So we tried that. We bought some liens. And they were redeemed 3 weeks later. We made $3.82 in interest. We're like, okay, that's not the way to go. Then we attended some tax auctions. And what we wanted to bid on was bid up way high. And again, we couldn't get anything because we also didn't have any money. We had like a few thousand dollars for a name. And so lastly, what happens is we had this thought. And this thought was, well, these people that haven't paid their property taxes, they apparently don't want these properties anymore, right? Because otherwise they would pay the property taxes. Because property taxes in most cases, particularly in the lower price properties, are not a whole lot. Like most people can afford a $300 or $500 or $100 or $1,000 property tax bill. So it's like if they stop paying property taxes, they either deceased or they just chose to get rid of that piece of land, that property, and not want it anymore. We started analyzing the process, and we realized that in most states, it takes several years for a property to come up for tax sale. Well, it's like, well, here's the thing. If we have this list of 200 properties coming up for a tax sale, then these are the properties that already are tax delinquent for 2, 3, 4 years before it has even come up there. That means there's another 200 sitting in the process that nobody has contacted yet because nobody even knows that these properties are tax delinquent. So we went down to the county and we figured out how to get access to that data. And we got access to it. And then we sent them a letter. And we said like, hey guys, it looks like you owe property taxes. If you don't want the property anymore, we're ready to buy it from you and take away the burden of property ownership. And we got a bunch of people contact us from that. And surprisingly though, every single one of them was a landowner. And that's how we got into land. Because we didn't plan to go into land. We're like, well, land, what do we do with that now? Well, guess what? One was a property worth $8,000. He owed like $300 of property taxes, and we offered him another $100 on top of that. He said, "Like, we'll cover you $300 and we'll give you $100. And he accepted. So we bought that thing, and then we went to the property. It was 3 hours away from here, put a sign up, and the neighbor came across and bought it on the spot for $4,000. Now, that's not the world's highest income, right? But it's a 10x return. And it proved the concept. We're like, oh my God, I like that, right? Let's do that again. And then soon enough, though, we realized that there's only a small amount of tax delinquent properties out there, but there's a huge amount of land out there. So we said, like, you know what? What if there's a bunch more people out there that still grudgingly pay their property taxes every year, but they really also just want to get rid of this property? So we started retooling our criteria. We developed our criteria to select them from all these hundreds of thousands and millions of properties out there. And then we played with that for a little bit and tested. And then we got it right. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. And we ended up buying like 63 deals in the first year, 150 deals in the second year, 800 deals in the next year. And since then, we have done over 4,000 deals. And because what we found out is that there's a ton of people that still pay property taxes. They're 100% equity. They grudgingly pay it every year. But if you just make them a 20, 25% offer of the market value, because we typically only pay between 5 and about 40 cents on the dollar. So you're paying like a 25 cents on the dollar offer. They're like, hallelujah, take the property. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Just garage sale mentality and go walk away from it. And then we figured out how to sell them on the internet to the other website that exists, Zillow, Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, landwatch.com. There's a whole bunch of them. Create a great listing and then sell that thing.
Yeah. And that's it. I mean, that's brilliant. I love everything about that. I mean, the one piece of the puzzle maybe that still leaves the question mark is how do you identify without the telltale sign of, hey, delinquent property tax? Like, what's the secret sauce for saying, oh, but this is still someone that might be motivated to sell? How do you filter them out?
What we typically do is we have a list of criteria. And one of them is like time of ownership. We like properties that have been owned for 20, 30 years. We like properties that have been owned in family trusts, because typically only wealthier family or affluent families have family trusts. And the definition of if they have a family trust, and that's just a small subsection of the property, probably 1 or 2% have family trust, but it's a criteria we like. Like typically a family that has a family trust, they have discussed what happens when they leave this earth. Most people just ignore it and stick their head in the sand and say like, okay, well, I'm going to be here forever. Well, you know, you don't. But so families that have family trust, they have sat their kids down and have said like, listen, kids, here's our assets. Tell me now what you want and what you don't want, because there's no need to drag on the assets that we don't want anymore. Let's get rid of them in our lifetime so you guys don't have to deal with them down the road. Well, guess what? Our letter arrives and they're like, yeah, these three assets we want to get rid of. Wonderful, right? So that's one. If they own it for many years, they're often ready to sell them. But also, interestingly, the ones that actually got properties very recently are also interesting, because often these are heirs. But then we also look at size, we look at value, we look at location to a degree. So, for example, again, if it's out in the 2 hours away from the city, we don't like anything under 5 acres. Because people out there want space, right? They just want space. Nobody wants to have a postage size lot to put an RV out in the middle of a nice pasture and thing. They want 5 acres, 10 acres, so they can fence it in, build their cabin, or bring their RVs and have fun out there, right? So yeah. There's a whole bunch more criteria than that. But yeah, so it's like a filtering mechanism that we go through. So we take a county that might have 100,000 records, 100,000 parcels. And once we're done with it, we still probably have about 10,000 or 15,000 left. So it's a big, big group to go after. But on those, we can go back and you can make a multi-six-figure income on those year after year after year after year. Because time and circumstances always change. You're not done after one sweep through.
I've got two pressing questions here, and I want to get through this before we run out of time here. So one is, can you quickly tell us the cash needs? If somebody wants to get into the land business, what do you tell somebody? What do they need to have in the bank in order to come and actually participate in this business in a meaningful way?
Good, good, good. So, yes. So the good part is you do not need cash to actually buy these properties. 98% of our students do deals with double closings, assignments, and things like that. We even now are increasingly doing what we call triple closes, which is basically, particularly on seller financing deals, it's when you put a property, let's say it's an $80,000 per deal under contract, property's worth $80,000, you got it on a contract for $20,000. Let's say, okay. So then you put it on the market for $80,000 with a, let's say you get a $15,000 down payment. Well, you're still short $5,000, right? Because your down payment doesn't cover the purchase price of the property. But we have surrounded us with an entire group of note buyers that understand land, like land, and like to buy these notes, that if the conditions and the parameters are right, they're willing to buy those notes on the day of inception. So in other words, what we now can structure is a deal where you you do that deal, you buy the deal for $20,000. You don't use any of your own money. Like you buy it for $20,000, you sell it with a $15,000 down payment. And now you've created a 18 minus 15, a $65,000 note. And you sell that note that same day to a note buyer for $50,000. So therefore, the note buyer that same day wires in $50,000. So now what does the title company have in the bank account? They have $15,000 from the buyer. They have $50,000 from the note buyer. So it's $65,000. So they take $20,000 of that, send it to the seller, take $2,000 for their own efforts, and send $47,000 to you as your profit. So you just bought a property, sold the property, and sold the note on the property, all in the same day without using any of your own money. So that's all the cool stuff that we're doing, that our coaching students doing, that our people in our universe are doing. But the most simple deal is like you get a deal on a contract, let's say $80,000, you get it on a contract for 20, you sell it for 50, and somebody brings in the 50, and then the title company uses the 50 to pay 20 to the seller, keep two, send you $28,000. You just made $28,000. In a double closing environment, which is very well known in the real estate industry, right? Or an assignment, you assign it over for a $15,000, $20,000 profit. So you don't need money to actually do the deals, right? 97% of our students do deals without ever putting their own money into those deals. What you do need money for is advertising and marketing. Our process is a direct mail-based process, but even there we are different than the house flippers and the multifamily guys and those kind of guys. We're different because we do not, there's so little competition and there's so many people wanting to sell their properties that we do not have to do a multi-touch campaign in order to have the people respond to us. One letter that we send out, one well-crafted letter, usually gets you between a 2 and a 10% response rate from those sellers. Now, that's about 10x higher than again, the house flippers do. But so on average, let's say you get a 4% response rate. So you send out 1,000 letters, you got 40 people inquiring about their property. And if you do this right with the right follow-ups on the offer-making thing, there we do follow-up, then you can, on average, get about 2 deals out of that, 1.5 to 2 deals. So on average, our students, once you're through a little bit of a testing phase, get about a deal for every 700 or 800 letters they send out. Now that's numbers. That is like, those are crazy numbers if you ever talk to any, in any kind of other real estate site.
Yeah, any direct mail campaign. I don't care what the asset class, that's a pretty high number. Thanks for breaking that down for us on the cash side of the thing. One last question for you here before we jump into the final few questions. How did Flipping Land Investing deal with the 2008 crisis? What happened then? Were you in business then? And how did you handle it?
Okay. In 2008, interestingly, that kind of land that we're talking about is actually a lagging indicator to the industry. Now, the land that the builders buy is a leading indicator. So the builders see their traffic stops to their houses, then they stop buying land in that moment. And then half a year later, the economy goes down, right? So one of the things, just as a tip, if anyone wants to really have a glass ball into the economy, have a close eye, have a close relationship with a bigger builder and have them tell you what's happening with foot traffic on their developments and their model homes. The moment foot traffic stops, we're 6 months away from a recession. Our land is a lagging indicator. So our land actually happens is because we're B2C. We're selling to consumers. We're selling to the guy next door that has an RV standing in there that wants to use the RV on the weekend, right? We're selling to the guy that wants to build the future retiree that wants to buy a property 20 minutes outside that is affordable. They can put a mobile home on there and they have a dignified retirement with his $1,500 a month Social Security. So with those kind of guys, they only stop buying when the wallet gets tight, when they start getting losing their job and things like that, which only happens about half a year after we hit a recession. So it's a lagging indicator. So what happened in 2008 is, first of all, nothing. 2009, though, land prices started going way down. So what we did is, what we actually did to that time period is we were running big land auctions where we'd sell 200 properties in one day in a physical land auction. Well, that model didn't work anymore because people would stop coming to these events. But what continued working was online sales. So we were able to actually cruise through the recession in two ways. Number one, we were just able to buy properties cheaper because prices did go down. Like a $100,000 property at the end of the recession was only worth $40,000. But so instead of us buying it for 30 and selling it for 60, we would now buy a property like that for 10 and sell it for 30. Right? So instead of making a $30,000, $40,000 profit, we would make a $10,000 or $20,000 profit. So our margins were compressing. But the amount of deals did not go down. We were able to continue doing deals all through the recession by going it because the cost of selling them online is almost zero. Putting it on Facebook costs nothing. Putting it on a Craigslist costs nothing. Putting it on a land flip costs a few bucks a month, but not something dramatic, right? So we were able to cruise through that. The second way we were able to cruise through that, and that's actually what I want to tell people, is like, now is the time to build up your cash machine and put cash on the sidelines. Because now the market is on freaking fire, right? So what we did, we had lots of cash on the sideline. We had built up from seller financing, from selling these properties on installment sales. We had built up over $70,000 a month in cash flow in our business. And guess what? Our default rate was only about 5% during the recession because a lot of people wanted to stop paying, but we reworked the loans with them because you're the bank, right? You can do loan modifications, basically. We said like, hey, we reworked it so they kept paying. But then what happens is we use that money to then buy houses when houses went down 80% in value. So we actually, at that point of time, we started expanding. When everyone else was contracting, we started expanding. And we bought a portfolio of 40 houses that are now, on average, worth 4 times as much as we bought them. And some markets even 8 times as much, and we still own them.
That's the key. I mean, you're hitting the key there, is that you got to have dry powder. And when everything hits the fan, it's like, you got to have dry powder for when that happens.
America was on sale at that moment, right? So yes, but our land flipping continued to work really well. Just we buy them lower, sell them lower, smaller margins. but also less cost and so on. So that worked on. But now 2020, COVID, put our business on fire. Because what do people want when everyone else, when they're afraid of everyone else being too close? Get out of town. Get out of town. RVs, RV sales are on fire in the United States, right? Ranches, land is on fire, right? And we predict it continue to be on fire because 18 months later, habits have changed. Human habits have changed. People live their life differently. This COVID was the biggest impact on America, I think, since the Second World War. From the way people live, right? From the way the sacrifices that people have to make and so on. Like from the changes that they experience in their life. So yes, land continued to go be gangbusters because everyone wants a piece of place outside where they can have a distance and they can breathe the fresh air. They don't want to be in a condo where they walk down the hall, the neighbor coughs and they get COVID.
Understood. Jack, this has been a blast. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Last couple questions here for you. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
What's one thing that we're doing right? Well, we donate a good amount of money to a school for the poor in my wife's home country, Honduras. We bring also a group of girls there to high school and college on a stipend basically paid by us. But then also, I think in our coaching business, we change people's lives. Like, so yeah, that's our mission. Our mission is to get our students to success. We are obsessed with that. And I think that's three things that we are very, very proud of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You should be. Jack, if our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
So we have a couple of things. We have a Facebook group called Land Profit Masterclass, which you can join. You can go to landprofitmaster.com and find out more about what we do.
Awesome. Jack, thank you for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.